Hey, good morning. It's good to see all of you this morning. And did you hear that we might get some more snow? You know, that's pretty good that we still have some yas. I mean, I heard some yas before I heard the groans. And I'm just going to stay neutral on this situation and this subject. I'm not going to pick a side. But if it snows, I will play in it. How's that? If it snows, I will play in it, and I hope you will as well. And I do think, you know, I think we will have snow in our parking lot till June, so that's just my guess. At least piles, we will have it in June, and that will be exciting. Mark my words, it will be there in June. I think, anyways, but what do I know, right? Sometimes as much as the weatherman, but that's a whole different subject. But it's still so good to see everyone here this morning and just, I love worshiping together, amen? I love corporate worship. I couldn't help but think as we were worshiping and even just being surrounded by kids, I don't know if it was just our row, but we just had kids, and thinking, I am praying extra for parents right now who have had their kids at home for like multiple weeks in a row because of the snow and because of no school. And just if you think about it, just send a prayer to all of our parents, right, that are literally like feel like summer break again 2.0. I'm so grateful for our kids and what God's doing. Well, I want to just share one more announcement I get to do before I get into the word. And we started something at the beginning of the year with a three-week church fast. In addition to our church fast that we did weekly prayer night. So on Thursday nights, we call them pursuit nights, an opportunity just to gather together and to worship. And we want to at least do this on a monthly basis. And so I just want to remind everyone, invite everyone that on the first Thursday of the month, so not this coming Thursday, but the following, if you just want to spend some time together in corporate praise and worship, we're going to pray for one another. We're going to lift up the name of God corporately. We're going to sing. I just encourage you, it's just an hour to come. We're going to pray for the needs, pray for our Sunday service, just an opportunity to cultivate the atmosphere of praise in our hearts and together. So I put that down. It's new. And so we're going to talk about it every week. We'd love for you to be a part of it at 6:30 on March the 7th. Well, if you've been with us, you know we've been in a series. And so we're going to continue with our series that we've entitled Stretch. And it's all about expanding where we're currently at to receive what God wants to do in our tomorrows. And so I have talked to many of you that you all are being challenged. Your thinking and your mindsets are being challenged and changed, and so is mine. And so we're going to continue to talk about stretch today. And the title of my message is Do Not Hold Back. We'll get to that in a minute, but I just want to read this key verse. Every week we're reading the same thing, and the idea is not because we forgot we read it last week, but the idea of reading it every week is so that it gets inside of our hearts, so it gets inside of our spirit. I don't know how you operate, but I operate in repetition. Does anyone else operate like that? Like my wife, after 6 weeks of saying, honey, you need to tuck your undershirt in, guess what I did this morning, people? I got my undershirt tucked in, right? But again, it took me about 6 times for my wife to say, honey, tuck your undershirt in, it hangs out. Okay, right? I need to be told over and over again with certain things. And I believe with the Lord, it's sometimes the same way, that we need to get these things inside of our spirit. And if we just hear them one time, chances are they're not going to get deep down where God wants them to get deep down. So you can turn in your Bibles to Isaiah 54, starting in verse 2. And this is a prophecy to God's people in the Old Testament. Like any prophetic thing, I believe it has New Testament implications. And I believe that there's applications that are meant for us today. And so turn in your Bibles, it says this. And it says, enlarge the place of your tent, stretch your tent curtains wide, do not hold back. And that's the title today. Lengthen your cords, strengthen your stakes, for you will spread out to the right and you will spread out to the left. Your descendants will dispossess the nations and they will settle in their desolate cities. And then verse 4, I love it because it says this. It says, do not be afraid, for you will not be put to shame. Do not fear disgrace. You will not be humiliated. How many know that God's not just going to leave us out to dry when he's called us to walk in his promises? Amen? We have the promise that we won't be put to shame. The key phrase that I want you to get in your heart this morning, that I want you to get in your spirit, is the phrase that says, do not hold back. Can you say that with me? Do not hold back. If you look in other translations of Scripture, they may say it a little bit differently, but do not hold back. Other translations may say this. They say, do not refrain from going forward. Other translations say, do not refrain from advancing. Pretty much he's saying, go forward at all costs, okay? Do not hold back. And I think we can think of different instances in our own life where we've held back, or maybe I remember I kind of got held back in school in kindergarten. I'm still bitter about that one. Not quite. I couldn't color very well or something. But it says, do not refrain from moving forward. And I believe that is what God is saying to the church today. Not just our church, but I believe the greater church, the body of Christ, where God is saying to his people, his church, do not hold back. Do not refrain from going forward, right? Refuse, another way I would say it is I would say refuse to stay behind. Has anyone ever heard that? I said that to my kids like on a regular basis when we go out in public. Come on, right? Come on, you're lagging behind. Keep up with us. And it doesn't help that they have little short legs and I have really long legs. But that's a different subject. But come on, don't hold back. And we have our son Jude, he's 7. He's just got this kind of this thing in his personality that he's just always kind of, you know, we could be moving forward and Jude's still back in, you know, left field and we've moved on. And we just say, Jude, come on, it's time to go. Don't get lost. Don't hold back. Don't stay behind. Another key verse I want to talk about, it's in the same book of the Bible, in Isaiah 43. And this is, I'm reading now the New Living Translation on this one. And it says this, but forget all of that. It is nothing compared to what I am going to do. And this is God speaking. And then he goes on in verse 19. He says, for I'm about to do something new. See, I've already begun. Do you not see it? Right? That's a question to us. I will make a pathway through the wilderness. I will create rivers in the dry wasteland. Wasteland, not land. Wasteland. I was thinking about this scripture, and this is one of the key scriptures for today. But I want to encourage us today to not dwell on the past. Okay, I want to encourage us to not dwell on the past because this scripture is saying, forget everything that's behind you. And I think our past is the thing that keeps us 9 times out of 10 from achieving what God wants to do in our future. Okay, when I think about the past, a lot of you have different memories that are running through your mind right now. We can think of the good things in our life that are in the past, right? And then the scripture says, don't dwell on those things. It's good to have fond memories. How many of you love to have fond memories of the past, right? That's why I love pictures, right? We have photo books at our home, and I love to look at those things. But I cannot continue to live my life in the future based on those past pictures or memories. But I also believe it speaks to some of us that may have a painful past and some of you that may have a painful past. And even as we read scriptures, it's hard for you to even believe that God could have a future and a hope and good things for your life because of your past, because of your past sin, because of the things that were done to you, because of the experiences that you've been with. And I just want to encourage us to not dwell on the past because as the scripture said, God is doing something new. And the last line of that scripture, it says that God is creating a road, a pathway through the wilderness. And I want to talk about that for a moment because I believe that God wants to create and pave a pathway for you to walk down in your life in the middle of uncharted territories. How many of you know that speaks of paving a trail where there hasn't been a trail? Have you ever done that in the natural before? Been the leader of a hike where there's no trail? Yeah. Not right, not fun. But the scripture says that there will be a pathway, there will be a road, there will be a direction that God will lead you in the middle of your wilderness. And the wilderness speaks to the unknown. It speaks to the territory that you haven't gone through yet.
And we have that promise that there will be a road as we step out in faith and follow what God's asked us to follow. Okay, that's what it says to me, is that God's not just going to let us get beat up and hit by paving a new way, but he will prepare a road. He will prepare direction, and he will prepare a pathway. Okay, and I love the scripture because he says that I will create rivers. Okay, I will create rivers in your wasteland. Rivers speak this morning of refreshing. Okay, so if I tie the two together, that there will be a direction, there will be a pathway, there will be a road that God will lead us down. And as we walk through uncharted territories and unknowns, we will walk into refreshing. Okay, you're not going to get tired being stretched. You're not going to get tired doing the new thing that God's asked you to do, because as you step out in faith, there is a promise of refreshing. And I want to encourage many of us this morning that as you do step out in those things, that God is not just going to let you get tired in doing good, but he's going to continually fill you with the spirit of refreshing. Okay, we need to understand a few things, and we read it a few weeks ago, but in Ephesians 2, verse 10, it says that God has prepared things in advance. Okay, that is a tremendous promise for us today, that God has already gone before us. Okay, can you get that in your heart today? God has already prepared things for you to do in advance. And so God is already thinking future-minded. He's already thinking ahead. He's not worried about what's tomorrow, but he's already there. And he already has things that he wants you to do. And so our job is that we get to just walk down those unknown roads. Amen? We get to walk down and experience the refreshing that he has for us. So today, do not hold back. How many of you, probably the same people that groaned at the snow, are just ready for summer? Come on. How many of you are just absolutely ready for summer? I got, even though I'll play in the snow today if it comes, both hands are up for summertime, right? My wife and I, we were already talking this week about what's coming with our summer and just different trips and different schedules and having kids home and just getting to play and feeling the big yellow thing that's in the sky that we see that's warm, getting ready for the sunshine. How many of you like to camp? I got a couple campers, all right. I got a couple campers. My wife and I and our boys, we like to camp. How many of you are more glampers? Okay, I've got some glampers. My wife raised her hand. She's a glamper, it means glamorous camping, right? That's a glamper, that's the term. I don't know if it's a legit term or not. But you know, when I'm thinking camping, I'm thinking like tents and dirt and air mattresses that are bad. You know, I still to this day get a hard time. We have a lady in our church, and it's actually Peggy Ellis, and I don't want to embarrass her, but she says, but she says I have the greatest wife in the world, and I would agree that I do, because she found out that I took my wife camping in the snow one time while she was pregnant, and she's like, she's a keeper, because if my husband would have done that to me, I don't remember what she said, but she pretty much would have said, I wouldn't have gone, is what she said, right? So my wife, we don't really know glamping. We know camping, and we love to camp. How many of you, your idea of camping, you like to camp at places like the Disneyland Resort? Right. So that, whatever your version of camping is, I want to talk about camping a little bit this morning. I want to go back to the Israelites. I mean, if you don't know, the Israelites were God's people. And for hundreds of years, the Israelites were in captivity. They were slaves to the Egyptians, right? They served them. They built their kingdom. God's people were in captivity. And God told Moses, we talked about Moses last week, that he wanted to use Moses to free his people. So Moses had the burning bush experience. After a lot of complaining with God, we talked about that last week, he led the people, and God led Moses to bring all of God's people, the Israelites, into freedom. And he said, bondage is not your thing anymore, but I have a promised land for you. I hope you're familiar with the scripture. If not, there's the quick version. And so they went on a camping experience is what they did. They went on a journey. They went on an adventure. And their adventure lasted far longer than I think God had intended it to last because of their own issues. But they say this, it's funny, you read the scriptures and we think, oh yeah, they went camping. Over 2 million people, historians believe, were freed from the bondage of the Egyptians. So you're talking about 2 million people camping together for way longer than God had intended them to go camping. So it's not like, oh, they got a few tents at the Walmart. Right? And we're talking tents, okay? I mean, I can picture, and I've seen pictures of what they think it looked like. And it just goes on and on. I mean, tent cities for days. And we got to understand this, that each tent represented a family. So your family would be in a tent, my family would be in a tent, and probably our kids would be in a separate tent, right? So you've got all these tents going around. And we got to realize that they were going to a destination. Okay, they weren't just called to camp on the other side of the river, right? God had a promised land that he intended them to get to. And so they were on a journey. And I could only imagine going on a journey with a toddler, going on a journey with a newborn, right? Been there, done that, and it takes way longer than it should. But they're camping, and we got to realize that all these families have their tents. And the small tents went where the big tent went. Okay, in the middle of their encampment was what they called the tent of meeting. And this represented God's presence. This represented God's leading. And if you're not familiar with the scripture, again, many of you are, but if you're not familiar, that they had a sign that God was with them. And the scripture says that by day there was a cloud. And the cloud represented God's presence. The cloud represented God's leading. And at nighttime, that cloud was a pillar of fire. And so wherever they went, wherever the cloud went, wherever the fire went, well, they would move, right? The cloud would move, they would move, the fire would move. And it was a sign to all of the tribes that God was with them. Okay, it was a number of things. And if you all look through scripture, you can see time and time again that fire is a representation of God's Holy Spirit. And so wherever the fire was his presence and was his spirit. So you've got over 2 million people, most likely, on a camping trip, and that they would set up, they would tear down, and they would move. The small tents went where the large tent went, and the large tent went wherever the fire went, okay, wherever the Spirit led them. And I believe this for us today, that God is moving his church, okay? God is always wanting to move his people. He is always wanting to get us to the next place that he has for us. So he's moving his church, and our responsibility as part of the church is to move when he moves, is to go where he says. And when we do that, we need to realize that everything expands in our life when we follow God's leading. Okay, when you follow God's leading in your life, you're going to move closer to him. You're going to experience things that you never have. And so the same is so true for us today, that when God's Spirit leads us, he wants us to go with him. Turn in your Bibles to Numbers. I want you to get this idea and this picture of what it looked like, daily camping life and the life of the nation of Israel looked like in Numbers 9. It's at the beginning of your Bible, starting with verse 15. And I'm going to skip around a little bit because, in my opinion, it repeats itself. And so there's a few scriptures that we're just going to not read directly. But I want you to get an idea of what their life looked like. Life camping with 2 million people. And it says this, starting with verse 15 of Numbers 9. It says, on the day that the tabernacle was set up, the cloud covered it. But from evening until morning, the cloud over the tabernacle was a pillar of fire. This was the regular pattern, okay? This was daily life. Imagine you wake up. This is what you did. Regular pattern. At night, the cloud that covered the tabernacle had the appearance of fire. Whenever the cloud lifted over the tent, the big tent we talked about earlier, the sacred tent, the people of Israel, they'd break camp and they'd follow it. And wherever the cloud settled, the people of Israel would camp. Okay, so they would wake up, it would move, they would unpack or pack, go follow it. Okay, verse 18. In this way, they traveled and camped as the Lord commanded, wherever he told them to go. Then they remained in their camp as long as the cloud stayed over the tabernacle. So they didn't move as long as the cloud was there. If the cloud remained over the tabernacle for a long time, come on, say long time. Long time. For a long time, they stayed for a long time. And they performed their duty to the Lord. We're going to skip to verse 21. Sometimes the cloud stayed only overnight. And all you parents with young kids went, ugh, we got to move quickly. And lifted the next morning. Sometimes But day or night, when the cloud lifted, the people broke camp and moved on. Whether the cloud stayed above the tabernacle for 2 days, a month, a year, the people of Israel stayed in camp and did not move on. But as soon as it lifted, they broke camp and moved on. So imagine the life trying to get settled, not settled, moving, not moving. Just imagine that being your normal life. And I was thinking about it. I was thinking, you know, not everyone moved on. Okay, we can read accounts. Different ones didn't move on. And I was thinking about some of the reasons why the people didn't move on. And I think some of them, as you read scripture later on, you see that they thought back to their captivity. They thought back and about when they were captive in Egypt and thought, man, that wasn't too bad. And I was thinking about some of the reasons we don't move on is because we sometimes remember our Egypts, right? Our past. Egypt represents our past, the things that you're moving from. And it's interesting because after walking with the Lord for a long time and talking to people who've done the same, when you think about your past, it's amazing how sometimes you only forget the good things about your past. Right, or you only remember the good things. Like, man, I remember, man, when I felt, you know, was walking in the flesh and it felt so good. Or the high, you know, people that have experienced with drugs and alcohol, they remember the high, but they forget about the bondage. They forget about the pain. They forget about the brokenness. They forget about all the things that they hated about their bondage. But when they're moving with God, they go back to those moments and say, man, but that was pretty cool. Right? That part of the bondage was cool. And I want to encourage you to not forget the parts of the bondage that were so terrible. Right? Another reason people maybe refuse to stay behind is because, and I think the same is true for us, is we think we've arrived. Come on, have you ever met someone that thinks they know everything? Right? My wife goes, I might be married to that guy. I don't know. Right? But when you refuse to stay behind, when you stop growing, when you think you have nothing else to learn in the Lord or nothing else to learn in your field, and you end up stop growing. Another reason maybe people in the Israelite day didn't move forward is they got stuck camping when God wanted to move. They got settled when God said, it's time to advance. You know, they would get comfortable in their unpacking. I can only imagine them getting comfortable, right? They set up camp. I mean, when we used to camp with our kids, I remember the first couple years, it wasn't just the camping stuff that we would bring and the suitcases of clothes. But like when you camp with little kids, we would literally, it sounds funny saying, we would bring like a crib, a pack and play, and a pack and play would be in our tent. And we would bring those extra bouncer saucer things, you know, that kids play on. We would bring those. We would bring slides. We'd bring all these toys. And so my wife would leave with the kids for 2 hours. And I would pack up the pack and play and bring the swings down. I mean, it was like, what were we thinking? But I can only imagine when you get settled into your life and God says, I want you to move forward. We go, but I think I'm good. I'm good camping for a little bit longer. I could only imagine the different stops that they would see on their way to their destination. And I wonder how many of them thought, maybe this place is the promised land. Have you thought about that? Maybe they were at a great campsite, which I've been to many, and they say, man, maybe this is our eternity. Maybe this is it. This is what God promised. And maybe they decided to camp there. I don't know. But I know this, that we are designed to move forward in God. When we are designed, God designed us to move forward in Him. And when we get stuck from growing, when we get stuck in our tradition, when we get stuck in our religion, we eventually will stop growing and eventually we will die. We eventually, whenever we think that we've attained it and we stop growing, we get stuck in what we think we know, we will eventually die. But God has designed that we move forward in life because God has more for us. So I want to talk about 3 keys this morning to moving well. Can I say it that way? To moving well, to camping well, to not refraining from going forward. Okay, the first thing this morning, I would say this. If we want to move well, Number one, we need to stay with the cloud and with the community. Okay, stay with the cloud and stay with the community. I think one of the dangers that's facing the church today, one of the biggest dangers in my opinion, is I think our nation, I think people in the nation, we have a diminished view of God's body, the church. I believe that is one of the dangers that is facing us today, is that we have, in lack of better words, are trying to dumb down what the church is. And we are trying to make it something that we can attain to. When I believe God has so much more for his church. And in Ephesians 5:25, it says that the church is like the bride to Jesus. Right? It's not just something that you attend on Sunday mornings. It's not just a club. It's not just a social gathering. The church is God's house. And I believe that God has incredible things for his church. I believe as you read your scripture, it says that he is looking for a church that is without spot and without wrinkle. Well, let me tell you right now, yet we're not where God wants us to be. Okay? The church, we are not there. But I believe that God has good things for his church. Here, I love technology. I have several podcasts that I listen to on a regular basis. That's like an audio recording. There's some pastors that can preach some pretty amazing messages. But the online church scares me because it is not a replacement for the body. It is not a replacement for community. Yes, there is some great teaching, and I love to listen to those things, but I cannot just go to online church week in and week out because I will miss an aspect of what God has just designed us to walk in and designed us to have. There's a scripture in 1 Peter, and it says this. It says that you are a living stone. It says all of us are living stones. That speaks of that we're called to build together. We're not just a sit in the blue chair person once a week or twice a week. We are called to be living stones, meaning we're building something together, right? And so us being part of a body of Christ is essential to us growing into what God has for us, right? I believe that there is an interdependency that we have on one another. Okay, not a codependency, that's bad, right? That could be really bad, but an interdependency that I depend on your spiritual growth. That your spiritual growth makes our church better and vice versa. And I believe this, that God's glory is on the community. God's glory is on his church. And so when his church moves, the blessing and his glory moves with his people. Amen? His glory and his blessing moves with his people. And I'll say it this way, there is danger with being left behind. There is tremendous danger, right? I have never, not once in my life, met a Lone Ranger Christian that was successful. I've seen a lot of them that say, well, I don't believe in the church, but I'm just doing what God's called me to do, doing my thing. And every single time I've seen one of those people, their life is filled with tragedy. So there is danger when you're camping and God says it's time to move, right? There is danger if you move when God says it's time to camp, y'all. If we continue this story in Deuteronomy 25, you can turn in your Bibles, but it goes on, and they're talking, and in verse 17 it says this. It says, never forget what the Amalekites did to you as you came from Egypt. And the Amalekites were one of the enemies that they had to overcome. They attacked you when you were exhausted and weary, and they struck down those who were straggling behind. Listen, there is danger when you refrain from going forward. Okay, I find it interesting. He talks about when they were tired and weary. How many of you know when you're tired and when you're weary and when your emotional guard is down, it's prime opportunity to be open to attacks of the enemy? I've experienced times in my life where I've been running hard after the things of God and busy and doing what God's called me to do, and I'm just flat out tired. And then all of a sudden, a thought comes into my mind. And I'm thinking, where in the world did that thought come from? Right? It's because I'm tired. It's because I'm weak. It's because my guards are down. And especially when we are tired, when we're weak, that's when we need to be closer to the community and closer to the body of Christ. You know, I met a lot of people and young parents. I'm right there with you. When you have young kids at home and you are not sleeping at night because your kids are up, man, it's a dangerous time for you in your spirituality because you are emotionally tired and emotionally weak. And I just want to encourage us, make sure we're taking care of our temples, right? Make sure we're getting the sleep that we need so that our minds could be on alert. I know it's practical, but for some of us, that's what you need this morning. Okay, there is danger for falling behind when you become tired. Okay, the scripture is very clear. The people that lagged behind were prime attacks for the enemy. The people that didn't move with the body were prime targets for the enemy. So there is danger when you're not in step with what the community is doing. There is danger. So I'll say it this way. Move with the body of Christ. Move with the community that God's put you a part of. Okay? And to move well, number one, we got to move with the community. Number two, if you want to move well, then you need to recognize the stakes that need to be pulled up in your life. Okay, tent stakes. You need to recognize the stakes that need to be pulled up in your life. Okay, I'm speaking of the baggage that weighs us down. I'm speaking about the things that cause us to stumble over and over again. Okay, if we're talking about stakes, we need to not confuse permanent stakes with temporary stakes. Because I believe that there are permanent stakes that God has called this church to walk in. That there are stakes in your life. You know what a stake is, right? A tent stake that keeps things grounded, keep things from blown away. There are permanent stakes that I believe we need to bury deep into our lives, right? Permanent stakes are stakes like the Word. If you don't have a relationship with the Word of God daily in your life, I want to encourage you this morning to just pound that stake deeper into your life, because that is a foundation that you need to have buried so deep in your life that will guide everything you do. Another permanent stake, I would say, is prayer. Right? If you don't have an active prayer life, my guess, well, I'll just say it this way, dig that stake deeper into your life. Right, because prayer is one of those things. It's communion with God. I believe another permanent stake is community. I believe that with my whole heart. If you are not plugged in to a community, then you need those relationships in your life. So pound that stake down deep. Again, I've never seen a successful Christian on their own without a community around them. Another one, I'd say worship. We talked about it this morning. Worship is a stake that needs to be driven deep into our lives, not just on Sunday mornings. Another one, I believe generosity. I believe generous with our time, generous with our resources. That is a stake that has to be driven down deep in our life. So those are permanent stakes, okay? We can't confuse permanent stakes for temporary stakes and vice versa. When I think of temporary stakes, I think of things that are good for a season. I think of maybe things that have happened to you for a season, right? My wife and I, we had a season with our kids where we felt like we can't go out to eat with our kids right now because, oh boy, because it's like a circus on steroids. And so for a season, we said, we're not doing that because it's not fun and it's expensive, and we end up hating our life for that hour. But I'm really hoping that's not, you know, something that's going to be with us forever. Right? That's a temporary season that we were in, that we felt to do for a season. Right? Temporary stakes, things that maybe have pinned us down, that have kept us safe. Right? Temporary stakes could be moments. They could be memories. They could be setbacks that you've experienced in your life that for a season caused you to shrink back. But I said for a season, though. Right? They could be past sin. Could be a stake in your life. It could be bitterness. It could be areas of unforgiveness in your life. That something happened in your life and there was some unforgiveness, and that unforgiveness is still controlling you. That bitterness is still affecting your life today. Right? Those are temporary things that, if driven down too deep, they will keep us from growing.
Man, how about negative experience? How about divorce? You know, if you've experienced divorce in your life, I'm sorry. But I've met too many people that then try to get remarried, and because they didn't deal with their past hurts, they end up continuing to hinder their next marriage. Right? There was wounds that happened in their first marriage that they didn't deal with. Okay, I know we're getting kind of real this morning. Whoa. Right? But negative experience, all these things. How about a temporary stake? How about age? Hello. I've met some 20-year-olds that are pretty set in the right way to do things. I've met some 11-year-olds that seem pretty set in the right way to do things. Okay, I've met some 22-year-olds that say, man, this is the only way to do church. Okay, so when I say age, I'm not just talking about the older generation, right? I could, right? Some of us that have been around the block forever, and you know, age could be a temporary stake that keeps us from growing and keeps us from moving. How about trauma? People that have experienced trauma, the impacts of trauma. You know, I've got some trauma in my life, but I don't believe that trauma needs to affect me for the rest of my life. Because Jesus, the great deliverer, the one who went to the cross for our sin, has set us free from all those things. Has set you free and has paid the price for your shame, for your sin, for your mistakes, for your first marriage. That you don't have to allow those temporary stakes to define you any longer. And I believe that some of those unforgiveness and those things, if they're in your life, they will keep you camping when God wants you to move. So we need to recognize the stakes. Number three, my last point this morning. We need to move with the community. We need to recognize the stakes. But how many of you know, husbands, you'll agree with me, just because you acknowledge something that your wife has told you isn't good enough? Hey, honey, you treat me rude sometimes in front of people. Oh, thanks for letting me know. Move on. Right? We can't just recognize the stakes that are in our life. We need to take action to move the stubborn stakes out of our life. Okay, it's one thing to be aware. It's another thing to uproot. It's another thing to remove and start over. So we need to recognize the stakes, but we need to take action to remove the stakes. And anytime we're talking about removing things that have become a part of who we are, we're talking work. We're talking like you got to have a plan. And any time that I've seen plans work in my own life, it always has certain ingredients, part of the plan. Right? It's not just change doesn't just happen. There's a reason that change happens. Any time that God has asked me to change in my life, or we're talking about stubborn stakes, I'm getting ahead of myself. Any time that we're talking about stubborn areas in our life, there has to be a plan. And I believe that there's probably 5 or 6 things that could be part of that plan. You know, I want to talk really quick about 4. Because any time God is putting something on your heart and that God is saying, I want you to deal with this issue in your heart. I want you to deal with this issue in your life. I believe that at least 4 things need to happen in order for it to take place. Number 1, I believe that there are going to be people that God is going to bring around you that are going to help you walk in new freedom. Amen. Okay? Any time that you want to walk in freedom, you are not called to do it alone. There is new relationships that God will bring around your life that will cause you to take the next step, that will cause you to think differently, that will cause you to be challenged in your mind, and that will challenge you to live differently. There is old relationships and new relationships that any time that you are looking to break free from something in your life, God always wants to surround you with the right people that are going to help you get to that next place. So there's people. And let me tell you this, a lot of times they're opposite of who you would usually cling to. Okay, I have some pastor friends in my life that have challenged me to think differently. And sometimes it bugs me because I'm like, phew. And they're like, but do you want to stay where you've been? Well, no, I just want to do what I've done. Well, it doesn't work that way. Right? God always wants to bring people around you when you're talking about change in your life and removing stubborn stakes. Number 2, there's always
places God wants you to go. Okay, when I say places, I'm not talking a physical place. Sometimes I do think, I believe this, every young person needs to go to a third world country, and they need to see a bigger perspective of what they see in their home. Man, my life was changed when I went to Honduras, when I went to other places, even in our nation, that were different than good old Enumclaw or Maple Valley. But I believe this, a lot of people are waiting to change and waiting to remove those stubborn stakes of their life, and so they don't go to other places. I believe that there's serving opportunities right now inside and outside of the church that God may be calling us to. And he says, I want you to get a different perspective. Listen, when you go and when you work with Vine Maple Place, who works with single mothers facing homelessness, something happens inside of you. When you go and when you serve the food bank or whatever God's called you to do, even locally, there is something that happens in your spirit. There's always places where you haven't been and things that you have not seen that God will use to change your mindset. Okay, the third one, if you want to remove stubborn stakes in your life, then I encourage you and I challenge you to find new levels of generosity in your heart. Listen, I'm not talking about the tithe on Sunday morning necessarily. I'm talking about your time, your resources, your talents. Anytime that you want to be stretched, there has to be a greater level where you ante up a little bit more. Where you just, I'm just going to go a little bit more all in with my time. But the tendency is, man, I've got these stubborn issues in my life, and so I'm going to wait until I get fixed in order to serve. Or I'm going to wait until I get fixed in order to minister to who God's called me to minister to. And I want to encourage you that some of your breakthrough will come as you are pouring out and being a blessing to others. Come on, we can't just wait until it's perfect. Okay, there's new levels of generosity. Because as you do that, as you're stretched in your time and your resources, things are going to get broke off your life. The fourth one, and worship team, if you would come. So people, generosity, places. But if you want to remove stubborn stakes from your life, my last point this morning is there needs to be a resolve. Right? There needs to be a resolve in your heart that says, I'm done with this. There needs to be a resolve in your life that says enough is enough. Right? There needs to be a determination, a resolve, but it needs to be followed by something, followed by a declaration, followed by an action. I believe this, and this is my thing. You don't have to take it for you. Would you, everyone stand up with me? But I've resolved this in my life, that I want to be a part of the next move of God. Yes. Come on, I believe that we are going to experience a great outpouring of souls coming to Jesus, amen, of lives changing. And I've just made the resolve in my heart that I am going to be part of that next move of God. That I'm not going to wait on the sidelines and be like, oh, well, it's happening in, you know, wherever you think a move of God is happening. Oh, it's happening in California. Oh, it's happening in South Carolina. Or, oh, it's happening in Honduras. No, if there's a move of God that's happening, I've resolved in my heart that I'm going to be on the front line saying, God, I want to be part of what you're doing. Come on, how many of you want to be part of the next move of God? Right? Because it starts in our hearts today. We can't just be like, well, if it comes, it comes. As we said last week, there's a fire, and we're called to run to that fire. And so if there's a next move of God, I'm saying, God, we're going to be part of it. I believe this house is going to be part of it. Right? There's got to be a resolve that says, when God moves, we're going to be right there, ready to match with our generosity, with our calling, with our passion. If there's revival coming, I'm in. If there's revival coming, I'm in. Come on, who's in? Who wants to be ready? There's got to be a resolve. And as you make that resolve, I believe stubborn areas of our life are going to be dealt with. I was thinking about this week, and I put it at the end. I don't know how it ties in.
But I was thinking about the Israelites. I mean, they camped for years and years and years. A lot of their children were born in the wilderness. A lot of them were two. They saw the fire. They saw the cloud. They camped. They packed. They unpacked. They moved. They did that when they were two. They did that when they were 12. Some of them, majority of their life, they were used to camping. They were used to seeing the fire. Do you think they struggled? Do you think they struggled with seeing the fire and seeing the cloud and forgetting how amazing that is? Listen, every time we have a new visitor come to Seattle, I'm driving down the road to Four Corners to take them to my favorite restaurant, and they go, "What is that?" I'm like, what? You know what I'm talking about? And they go, "That mountain. What is that?" And I'm like, "Oh, Mount Rainier. Yeah, that's Mount Rainier. And they're like, "I gotta go," right? They're literally, they're like, "That is the coolest thing." And I'm like, the mountain. But you think the Israelites struggled with that? Their whole life, the fire's leading us again. I don't want to get comfortable and familiar with when God's Spirit is moving and when God's Spirit is leading. So this morning, I feel a number of things, but I feel specifically that there are stakes in people's lives that have been driven down too deep, and that God wants to bring some healing to those things today. So I don't know if that's you, but I believe that there are also stakes that God says, this has been a temporary stake in your life, like my word, like prayer, and I want to drive that thing deep this morning. And so here's what I want to do. Would everyone just close their eyes? Because I believe that there's a spirit of faith in this room this morning. And I believe that God wants to do things in our hearts that will set us free so that we can move when God says move. So come on, if you have an area in your life, no one's looking around, but we're just going to sing this song. But if you have an area that you know that God is calling you to uproot in your life, could we just lift our hands to Him? It could be like this. It could be your pinkies. It could be all the way up if you want. But as we sing this, we're just saying, God, you know the needs. God, you know the areas. Would you come and would you uproot those things? Come on, let's sing. But come on, let's allow the Holy Spirit to do a work in our hearts this morning.
Your name, the mountains shake and crumble. At your name, the oceans roar and tumble. At your name, the angels will bow. The earth will rejoice. Your people cry out. Lord of all the earth, we shout your name, filling up the skies with endless praise, Yahweh, Yahweh, we love to shout your name, oh Lord, at your name. The morning breaks in glory. At your name, creation sings your story. At your name, the angels will bow. The earth will rejoice, your people cry out. Lord of all the earth, we shout your name, filling up the skies with endless praise, endless praise. Yahweh, Yahweh, we love to shout your name, oh Lord.
Sing Yahweh.
Yahweh, Yahweh, we love to shout your name, oh Lord. Yahweh, Yahweh, we love to shout your name, oh Lord.
I want to pray for you this morning. If you're saying, you know, Justin, I've got some stakes, whatever they are, some wounds, some hurts, some experiences, some mindsets. Come on, can we believe that God wants to uproot those this morning? So come on, if that's you, just receive this, because it's me too. But Father, I thank you, God, that you are calling us to move with your Spirit. Father, and I thank you for the seasons that you've had us in, the seasons, the healing that you've done. But Father, I pray for everyone this morning that says, I've got some things. I've got some temporary stakes that I've allowed to direct me, that I've allowed to limit me. Father, I ask today that you would uproot those things in your presence. Father, I ask today, God, that you are a good healer, that you care about us. Father, I ask that you would do the work in our hearts that needs to be done. Father, that wouldn't allow us to stay limited any longer. Father, that you would heal hurts if there's hurts. Father, if there's result of trauma in people's lives and they think, I can't even have a hopeful future, Father, I ask that you, our great physician, our great healer, would come so sweetly to us today. And Father, I pray that we would be people that move with you. Father, and I make a resolve in my own heart, God, and even as a church, as a leader of our church, Father, that we will not miss the next move that you have. Father, but we position ourselves to be there and to move when you want, and to camp when you want, oh God. So Father, I bless your church today. Come on, amen? Amen. Amen. Let's sing this chorus together one more time. Come on, declare it, sing it out today.
We love to shout your name, oh Lord. Oh, sing Lord. Lord of all the earth, we shout your name, shout your name. Filling up the skies with endless praise, endless praise. Yahweh, Yahweh, we love to shout your name, oh Lord. Lord of all the earth, we shout your name, shout your name. Filling up the skies with endless praise, endless praise. Yahweh, Yahweh, we love to shout your name, oh Lord.
Amen. Amen. So come on, let's go out of here moving this week where God wants us to move with his Spirit, and allowing him to do the work that he wants to do in our hearts. With that, you're released. God bless you. We'll see you next time.